I have to say, there's a lot of things about church, there's a lot of things about the kingdom that I love, but nothing beats it when the Lord comes with His presence and you get to stand and experience His presence in the way that you do. So thank you guys for the worship and for leading us into that. But there was, the Lord is here now.
Yeah.
Is He here yet? Yeah. Let's hear from Him. Is He here yet? Did anybody experience something of the Lord as they were praying for you? It's almost as I was standing here, I felt that the Lord wanted to show us, and again, I'm treading on dangerous ground, because the minute that you ask the Lord, Lord, show me, the minute that we do that, then the assumption is that we walk out, we step out of faith, because the Bible does say we believe not by sight, but by faith.
Yeah.
And so the minute that we do something and I say, listen, I would almost have some proof that the Lord is here this morning, I know that it kind of treads into not having faith. But there is also that the Lord knows us. And that's, I love the fact that Jesus, when He was walking on the earth, He healed people. And He did signs and He did wonders so that they might know, and the Bible says later on, so that they might know that He was the chosen one sent by God.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, from time to time, it is something that the Lord comes by sight, and the Lord comes by experience and by encounter, so that we might know, wow, the Lord is here this morning, you know? And that's very much almost what I have on my heart for this morning. And as I said, I don't have a lot. Normally I prepare about 4 pages of scripture and of teaching. I've got 2 very flimsy pages here this morning. And it's not because I'm not prepared in terms of what we're going to talk about this morning, but I do feel that the heart of what we want to say is going to be more important, and that you guys at some point will get to participate if you want to. You don't have to. I'm hoping that some of you would, but we'll see how far we come. And so we have been speaking about honoring God over the past few months, and we've been speaking into specific areas. How do I honor God with my marriage? How do I honor God in relationships? How do I honor God in my finances? And I was going to speak this morning about how do I honor God with my time. And as I was preparing for that, I just felt the Lord was steering us in a different direction this morning. And so what we are going to talk about this morning is not how do we honor God with that, is how do I honor God with my voice, with my stem. But more importantly, it is what comes out with my voice. What do I use my voice for that we're going to be focusing on? And everybody, each person that is in here, I'm trusting, because that's most probably why you are here, or you have just been invited by someone and you're here for the very first time, but I don't think there's any of them here. So most of us, if not all of us, have got a journey, a personal journey, that you are walking and have walked with Jesus Christ up until that point. Am I right?
Yes.
So each one of us, but it's all unique. Mayon Philip Sophia Lakeney Dieselfdenie. Mayon Peter Sophia Lakeney Dieselfdenie. Everyone has got a different story. But also, with that story, there's different experiences and encounters. So when we read a scripture in the Bible, like Luke 4, let's read it together. Luke 4 verse 18, it says, the Spirit, and Jesus is here speaking about Himself. Yeah? He's talking about Himself here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so all of those things, being set free, hearing the good news of the gospel, where there's areas in your life where you were blind, you didn't see, maybe there was areas of sin, maybe there was some things. Then also to set the oppressed free. There's strongholds and things in my life that sometimes hold me back, that I'm not able to run in the freedom that God has for me. And so for all of these things, each person is supposed to, if you walk with the Lord, you're supposed to have stories to tell about that. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to have stories. For the very least, at the very basic, you would have had something to say about, you have heard the good news. At least that. So if you are saved, at some point you would have heard the good news, the gospel. You would have heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins. And that is why you are here this morning. So at the very least. But then also a lot of us, and I'm actually hoping more of us, would have also come to the place where you have had the experience and the encounter of being poor, spiritually being poor, and how Jesus needs to come and teach us, and how the Lord needs to come and build into us His values and His ways of doing things, because spiritually we are poor at the time when we get to meet Jesus. But He comes and He says, but I've got good news for you. In me, I can do anything in you to help you change and to help you overcome sin and all of these things. And then also recovery of sight for the blind, as we said, release of the oppressed, and to experience the Lord's favor. And when we say the Lord's favor, it's not always in the materialistic. It's not always that you're going to have a bank account full of money and live in a big house. It is the Lord's favor over your life in terms of you being able to follow Him in the freedom that He has for you.
Amen.
And that entails so much. That is so, so much. It comes from just being able to have the freedom to lift your hands in worship and to worship the Lord in the way that that He wants you to worship Him. But it also comes in when you've got something. He's got a plan and He's got a purpose for your life, that nothing is holding you back. To be able to walk in the purposes and the plans that God has for you. And so all of that, and so within these things, we encounter it and we experience it. Is that good?
Yes.
Julle volg my?
Ja.
Dit is om die ingewikkeld, ja. Ek vra nou asof dit nou vreselike ingewikkelde ding is. Simpel soos in duh, Willem. Is nou regtig nie so ingewikkeld nie. And so Jesus, we have these experiences, and I think from the worst experiences that I had with Jesus, where sometimes He comes and shows me something in me that's sinful. I remember, and you guys know my own story, where I've struggled with some addictions and some things in my life. Those are sometimes not lacquer experiences. But when you come through the other side, when you walk through these things with Jesus, you can't help but fall more and more in love with Him. As you encounter His love and His ability and His power in your life. These things change us. It's just, you can't not be changed by that. I've mentioned it quite a few times. Who's ever been part of a deliverance? Where you were part of a group or someone that prayed for people that got delivered? There's one or two of that has been part of that. I'm telling you, I've had the privilege now to be part of something like that quite a few times. Jesus is never as real and as alive to me at times when we're praying for people that has the knowledge of their children in their lives. The spirit world is never as real as it is in that moment when people is getting set free from demonic oppression. You don't doubt. I'm telling you, you walk out of there and there's no doubt in your mind that there is something called God, called Jesus, called the Holy Spirit, but also that there's things like demons in this world, because when you encounter these things firsthand like that, you walk out of there, there's no doubt. But there's also no doubt about how much Jesus loves people. Jesus' price that He paid on the cross is never as real, because that's the only thing that you've got in that moment. I know there's other ways we fight, people sometimes declare and warfare in all kinds of ways. For me personally, when I'm in that moment, it's like, Jesus, we need you. There's nothing in me that can set a person free. Yeah. There's nothing in me that can take that demon by the scruff of the neck and chuck him out. No, it's Jesus. And so there's this total dependency on Him to come and encounter this person that is sitting in front of you. And sometimes there's a manifestation, sometimes there's some things that's going on in that moment. And the more manifestations get, the more desperate you get for Jesus to step in. Yeah. And He always does. I've never been in a situation where Jesus doesn't step in. And those times are real. You walk out there, and sometimes you're a little bit, yoh. But also, it's like, Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it anymore.
Yeah.
I've seen Him. With, actually, I'll let Leonie, it's a photo. Leonie, I was part of my wife's deliverance that she had quite a few times when we prayed for her. But there was this one time when we prayed for her, and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. It's something that impacted me. I will never claim that I saw Jesus physically, but I experienced Jesus walking in. As we were struggling, we kind of hit a wall, and we were just not breaking through, and nothing was happening. And we only were struggling, and it was like, Lord, this thing is killing her almost. It felt to me that was my experience of that. And I'll never forget, I was standing behind her, and it was literally as if I experienced, it was, for me, I saw Him, but it was like, I'll never proclaim that I saw Jesus, but for me, it was like I felt Jesus walking in, and He was touching me on her neck. As He did that, it was literally as I saw Him coming closer to her, and as I saw Him touch her, it was literally as if He took that thing and He chucked it out there, and immediately there was a breakthrough. I was never as aware of the presence of Jesus as I was in that moment as we prayed for her. And those are experiences that change our lives. Nou moet ek eers vir my, ek moet nou eers my bearings skryf, waar is ek op my notas? I sat with him, Peter and Tani Wilna. I want to honor you guys again. I've been honoring you for 2 weeks now. But again, I want to honor you. You know you've got a part to play. You ignited a little fire in my heart as we talked last weekend. And I realized as I was talking with him, he was just sharing how he was sharing with other people his own experiences that he's been having with the Lord recently. And he's a newly, in broader terms, he didn't get saved last week. He's been saved for about 2 or 3 years now. But for some of us that's been serving the Lord for many years, he's new in the faith. And as I was listening to him, I recognized something in him that I used to have. I recognized the boldness, and I recognized the courageousness that he has to share the gospel, to share what Jesus is doing in his life, that I used to have. And when I say I used to have, it's not because I'm scared. It's just a strange thing. Andrew calls it spinning plates. When we did church plant course with Andrew, he taught us this. He says, as a church leader, you're like a guy that you've got the sticks, and then you've got plates on the sticks. You know that I asked Borsa what to do. And I'm spinning the plates. And then when you get to the end of the plate, you just get this one spinning. The other one at the other point starts wobbling a little bit. And that's often how, and then you have to run over, you have to, you know, give a speed again so that it keeps on spinning. And that's often how it is in our own lives and with the congregation, is that sometimes you just lose speed in a specific area, and then the Lord comes, and that's where Paul says, just fan the flame.
Yeah.
Fan the flame again, and then we fan the flame of that. And then Peter and Tani Wilna fanned the flame in me. And as they were sharing some experience with me, I realized and I remembered how other people's experiences of Jesus impacted me. Not even my own experiences, but other people's experiences. And I started thinking this week, I started thinking about Paul, the apostle, and Peter, and James, and all the other 12 apostles, but also there were disciples even who was walking with Jesus that is not always named in the Bible. But all those people, say, are we going to say it's about 50 people? Or how, I don't want to put a number to it. Was die skrifgeleerdes on us? How many people were there with him? How many were in Acts, the small upper room? Yeah, I think it was about 120. Okay, thank you so much. I knew it was somewhere in that way. But there was about 120 people that got to experience Jesus and encounter Jesus firsthand. But I got to thinking, how many Christians exploded right after that, as Christianity then and the gospel then started spreading? How many Christians got born again after that? Thousands. Was it those 120 people that shared the gospel with them?
No.
They included, but definitely not just them. It's impossible for only 120 people to share the gospel in that. And then, if you read through Acts, if you read through the gospels, you hear of many names that never met Jesus. But they were able to share and witness because they started having experiences of their own. They never met him, but they started sharing it. And I realized again, just the power of us having experiences and encounters with Jesus, although we never met him. I've never met Jesus, and I'm sure none of you have also met him. Maybe we'll do that, I think not. But we never met him personally. But yet, we get to share our experiences and encounters with him. And how impactful are those experiences and encounters? It is so impactful that there are billions and billions and billions of Christians, not just now, but over the history, because of people that were willing to share their experiences and their encounters with other people. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I think that's just that. This week, it just boggled my mind when I realized that there is this almost a second-hand encounters. There's, you know, not you don't have a person, but through my life, you get to encounter Jesus, and you get to see something of Jesus through my life. And how, as we share it with one another, we there's... And last week, I'm going to go back to last week. Last week, we had this amazing encounter with Jesus. It was one of those Sunday mornings I personally didn't want to go out there. I want to stay, I want to set up camp, like the disciples did when they went up with Jesus. They wanted to set up camp and say, I want to stay here forever. Not going anywhere. I'm never going back to work again. If I can just stay in this moment. But it was one of those times where Jesus spoke into lives and people encountered him, and there was tears and there was joy as people encountered the living Jesus. And I realized to myself, I said, we experienced something special of Jesus. But I asked myself the question, how long did it take me to share that experience with someone that wasn't here? I felt so convicted as I realized that if you overtell the grace of God, you must see it. If you overtell God the grace of God, then if you always tell. I realized even my own wife. I went home and I was so full of the Lord, but yet nothing came out of my mouth. And because nothing came out of my mouth, others weren't able to experience and encounter Jesus the way that I did because I want us to. Revelation 12. Let's read it together. This is at the end of the world. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been hauled down. So this is the end of the days. Now listen to this. How did they overcome? They overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, which we saw active and working this morning. And what else? And their testimony. They did not love their lives as much to shrink from death. And there's something, two aspects to this scripture. The first is to realize and to have a revelation of what this can do in the kingdom, my voice, and what comes out of with the, how I use my voice. But also, the second one is not to shrink from death. Because often we get silenced. We get almost, ons raak skaam, ons raak bang, ons raak teruggetrokke. We expect people to act, kind of reject whatever it is, the minute when I start talking about Jesus. You know, we almost have been lied to in a way. And again, as I was speaking to Peter, and as Peter started sharing with me, I realized, hang on. Number one, it's not that difficult. And number two, people don't kill you because you speak to Jesus about them. This is so bad me. Dis is so gevaarlik nie.
And you know, it's not, we're not being persecuted. We're not in China that the minute that you call Jesus' name, that you get thrown into jail. There's still a freedom for us. And people are generally, I'm talking about the world and unbelievers. Generally, the world kind of respects that song. There's still a time when we can actually speak to people about Jesus. And they will not always listen. They won't always react to that. But they will still allow you to plant that seed. And it's not that bad. As I listen to Peter, I realize, hey, this is so erg, hey? This is so gevaarlik, hey? People won't cast me out of their house.
I had Oma Lulu. Oma Lulu, and ek is amper klaar met my stukkie. Oma Lulu used to, wherever she came, she shared about Jesus. And for us as a grandparents, it sucked because I was still little. And oral waar oma gekom het, het sy vasgehaal. And you went to spar with her and you knew it was going to be an hour and a half. Because Oma will get someone in the aisle. Oma will get the person that is helping her to find the 2-minute noodles. Oma will get to the till. Oma will get to the person that's packing the bag. Oma will get to the person that is putting the stuff into the car. And with each single person, she used that opportunity to talk about Jesus. And I looked at Oma Lulu again this week. And I said, Lord, I used to be like that. I remember when we planted to this church 5.5 years ago. We both had this thing where we said, we don't know what's going on. But wherever we go, wherever we move, wherever we find ourselves, it's almost as if each conversation that we have with people ends up talking about church. It ends up talking about Jesus. And we thought at that point something's wrong with us. And I realized to us, that thing, I need to fan that flame again. I need to fan that flame again. Acts 1. Listen to this. But you, this is the guys that were in the upper room. Yeah? This is what happened to them. But it's the same thing that will happen to each one of us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what?
Witnesses.
My what?
Witnesses.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think sometimes there's such a big focus in my heart, definitely recently, there's this over-focus on discipleship that by the time when you get here, I need to disciple you. And so we go to Matthew, the commission, and where Jesus says, I'm going to send you out into the ends of the earth to disciple people and to teach them the things to obey what I've taught you. There's a big focus on that, and that should be. It is about discipleship. But if we don't do that first, there will be no one to disciple. If we don't witness, if we don't share our experiences that we have with Jesus, there will be no one to disciple. Because if we... If we stay silent, how will they hear? If we say nothing, how will they know? If we don't share... So Jane, if you say to what's in with our kinders geleer, sharing is caring. I read again this week about what is the second most important law?
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. And then Jesus goes further in Matthew, he explains it further because all the other, when they talk about that, it talks about love your neighbor in this context. Because Paul speaks and all the scriptures, he says about brothers and sisters, love your neighbor. And he says, brothers and sisters, he speaks in this context. But Jesus goes a step further when he actually says, he says, what does it mean to love my neighbor? The disciples asked him that. He said, what does it mean? He says, I'm going to tell you the story about some very Samaritan. And a Jew, and the old seer gekry. And what happened is that a person that was not supposed to love him, a person that was so far removed from being a brother or sister, actually stopped and he helped that person and he changed his life. Yeah. And that's what Jesus said in that interview, to love a brother, sharing is caring. If we really love the world,
Like God loved the world. John 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God does his part. Our part is God so loved the world that he put a love into us, that we so love the world that we share our experiences of Jesus with the world. Because it's through our testimony, it is through our witness that people will be able to hear about this Jesus that we serve. And if we don't share that with them, they just won't know it.
So, I want to ask you guys. Ek wil nou 'n toets doen. And this nou my voorbereiding is nou klaar. Ek het nou niks verder voorberei nie. I want to ask you guys. I want to give you a practice run. I want to give you opportunity. Is there anybody bold enough, courageous enough to stand up in front of a bunch of Christians and just quickly tell us 1 or 2 minutes? How did you meet Jesus Christ? How did you end up in church? How did you end up where you are today? Doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about your whole life journey. So nou nie begin vertel toe jy by die laerskool het 'n juffrou nou vir jou ene. Nou, I want to just a minute or two. How did you end up being a follower of Jesus Christ in your own? Who's going to be first?
Lekker.
Ja, en nu gaan eerst aan Len Matthew.
Ja, I can maybe just share shortly. And I think the one thing I just want to mention before that I couldn't forget it, is it's not always just sharing. It's sometimes also how you share. Yeah. Are you sharing with passion or are you just telling? So for me, and I'm just saying this as a background so you know sort of where I ended up. I grew up with a lot of issues. So I knew what it was to grow up with family, with alcoholism, with heroin addiction. I know what it's like with suicide threats. I know what it's like waking up at 3:30 to go to a prison and go and visit family members. And you sit there till 12, 3 o'clock in the afternoon to just try and get like a 30-minute visit. So there was a lot of issues. And then by the time I was 23, I was really at that point of, you know what? I don't want anyone near me anymore. I'm working, I'm going to save, I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to go overseas, and I just want to be alone. No one around me. And I grew up in church, eh? And I was, you were dropped at church, your parents went home, and you listened to the preaching, you went to Sunday school, and they picked you back up. So through all of those things that happened, I was in church. I heard preachers. But nothing of that drew me to the Lord. And that's just what I'm saying. Sometimes it's also how you share. And obviously the Lord's timing. But by the time I was 23, I was working at RCS in Goodwood, and I had a cafeteria where we went to go and have coffee. So in between your meetings, you'd quickly go and grab a cup of coffee. And you always end up chatting with someone while you're waiting in line. And there was one guy that I knew that was working in IT, and the one day, just out of the blue, started sharing about him and his wife that joined a church, and how it's changed so much for him. And just the passion that he was talking about, just in terms of what he found in the church in worship, just that passion that came out of him just raised that question in my life, like, is this all there is? I'm working, I'm going out with friends, but is this all there is to life? So he invited me to church. He said, why don't you come that Sunday? We're going to be there and come and join us. And he gave me directions. I don't know if that's also testing me to how I can follow directions, but I ended up in the wrong church that Sunday. Not the church he invited me to. I was sure I followed his directions. But that Sunday in church, I was saved during worship. Because during worship, I could just remember that look on his face that he had while he was speaking about the Lord and the experience he had. And for the first time, worship and Jesus became real to me. And just to say how, sometimes just something small like that. So that Sunday, I was saved. The next week, I met Willem. And he told me afterwards, because of his journey with the Lord, he said to the Lord, I will never date someone again that's not already saved. So Jesus knew that deadline and he did that by a week. So and the guy that shared is my brother-in-law today, by the way. Wow. In the Durban Hills, Josh Chen. So just the fact that someone shared while waiting in line for a cup of coffee made the difference between me being here, being married, having kids, being part of a church family, and maybe sitting overseas in London. I don't know where I would have ended up. Yeah.
I can't overemphasize that story. Her whole life, verstaan julle, julle mooi geluister wat sy sê. Everything. Her whole direction of her life, is huge. It's huge. Just because one person in a line of coffee shared something about his own experience with Jesus with her. Yeah. It's huge.
Yes.
It's huge.
That's
hello. So, yo, I wanna kind of start at the beginning. So, in the beginning was no. Anyways.
Thank
you, Mike. No, I got saved when I was about 5. Always been in church. My parents would take me to church, but I remember distinctly going to a church meeting that happened at a Kuro preschool somewhere in Durbanville, and something just gripped my heart in that meeting when the guy started preaching. He was preaching about how he would go on missionary trips to prisons and how those people would get saved and how the Lord would erupt within those places. And I was like, but if such bad people can have such a good thing of forgiveness like that, surely anything that I can do wrong, like the Lord will still love me and still forgive me. And that's kind of when I had my first encounter with the Lord. From there, as life went on, I started chasing things of the world because I found value in it. And only, I'd say, about 3 years ago, God taught me the lesson of sonship and that I was a part of His family. And from there, he just started building on relationship. And now I can confidently say that the Lord knows me and I want to know the Lord even better than I already do. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, you still mean it. Hey, man.
Good morning, everybody. Where can I start? I think it's probably much similar to yours. I was a prisoner, literally and metaphorically. And I come from a very broken and very emotional childhood. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up with parents. I grew up with my grandparents, so it's their way or the highway. So, you know, they take you to Roman Catholic Church and you sit there and you keep quiet, but you don't take anything in. So most of my life, I ran away from the church. I was angry with God. I had a hatred towards God because of, just the suffering that he allowed us to go through. So with that said, running in the opposite direction, doing everything I can to prove to myself that God doesn't exist. And lo and behold, by the grace of God and an absolute stranger, I met my lovely wife. We were having a very bad relationship, but you know, what did I know? We went doing shopping, we went to go buy school shoes. And in the shop, lo and behold, the owner of the shop, which we didn't know, started coming and talking to me as if we were the best of mates, and he invited me for dinner. And at that point, I thought that was so strange. You don't do that with people. So I'd done my best to run in the opposite direction, but this guy was tenacious. He kept on for months. I would go to the mall and literally go around the back of the mall to avoid this guy. I didn't know him for a bar of soap. And he invited me to church. And it was through his invitation that I'm here today. Set free from drugs, set free from alcohol, from all kinds of demonic stuff. Through a guy who didn't know me, who was obedient to the call. So with that said, my wife, my kids, we in such a great space. God has come and showed up in so many different ways. Where scripture says God will restore, I'm living proof of that. And what's lovely is my kids, who are now 12 and 16, can testify to that. So they've seen firsthand how God moves. This God that we hear about in stories, that we read in a book and nobody's seen. They've seen the move of God. So don't let the enemy silence you. Don't let him make you feel embarrassed. Break that barrier. Because it's by sharing, reaching somebody else that lives are transformed. Not only mine, but my family, my nephew, my brother. All of our lives have been transformed because of the stranger. So praise God. Thank you.
Groot geword op maar in 'n huis waar jy sonnaskool toe gegaan het. Ek sal baie keer onthou het my pa ons afgelaai by die sonnaskool en dan kom hulle ons na dit op voor die kerk begin. So het ons aangegaan en toe ek met Ludo te doen gekry het ek gesien hoe mense werklik die Here dien en hoe dit kan gedoen word. Ons het kerk toe gegaan, ja, my pa was nogal lief om kerk toe te gaan, my ma nou nie vreeslik nie, maar ek sal nooit vergeet nie, ek het een slag, het Annelien, toe ons getroud is, het sy beginne soekende raak vir die Here, en ek het nogal met groot vrymoedigheid van gesê, gaan, ek sal die kinders kyk, dit is hulle nog klein, is aan nou maar toe gekom het, dan is dit nou een probleem gewees, maar anderwise is dit alright, ek moet nou wel kyk. Maar ek het nie omgegee, laat sy gaan nie. Ek het, laat sy gaan man, ek is alright. Ek het vooraf opgestelde idees gehad van 'n prediker wat on top of his voice geskree het, op jou beheerbusse predikante gekry. Dit het my afgesit. Sy kom tot bekering, sy dien die Here voluit, en ons is een aand, ons het in Grafnet gebly en skielik, ek het 'n verhouding met my pa gehad, was die enigste seun, ons het 3 susters, en ons het 'n verhouding met my pa gehad, en skielik, onverwags, op 56 kry hy 'n bloedklont en hy sterf. Was vir my die grootste, dis seker vir my een van die grootste skokke wat ek deel met jou is. En toe is ek half kwaad vir die Here, kon hy nou my pa weggevat het. En dis juist op 'n stadium wat ek toe ons verhouding regtig baie mooi reggekom het. Ek het net 'n goeie verhouding gehad met my ma, maar my pa op 'n stadium, die tiener stadium, het ons so 'n bietjie verskil. En ek sê vir jou sê, dit was vir my die moeilikste ding gewees. En toe gaan hulle een aand na 'n prediker luister in die naam van pastoor Meiberg. Nou hy is een van daai ouens wat on top of his voice. As jy hier die voorste rye is, dan kry jy showers. So was hy gewees. En dit het my, alles sê ek moet saamkom. Ek sê, maar gaan julle man, so 'n reeks gewees. En die vrijdag aand, die vraag ek jou, kom saam man. En ek dacht, ag, please man, my vrou, die keer. En ek gaan saam. Maar ek is hier binnenkant, as ek stikken, oor my pa. En daai aand sit ek daar, en daai ou begin ek preek. En ek kyk verby hierdie skree, en hierdie showers wat hy gee in die voorkant. En ons 4 kinders is al 4 daar gewees die aand. En ons al 4 kom tot bekeer. En juist by hom het hy gepraat oor die vaderhart van God. En dit het my so geroer. Ek het dit so ontdek, dat het vir my bygebly het vir altyd. Uit my heeltemal verander oor my siening in het. Net die laaste dingetjie wat ek wil sê. My ma het tot bekering gekom in ons huis, dit ons nog allemaal in die wêreld. En op die ou einde is ons almal tot bekering gekom. Annelien het begin stap voor en haar ding gedoen. Ek wil nie gaan nie. Gaan jy maar, is alright, gaan jy, is alright. En op die ou einde het my hele gesin tot bekering gekom. So moeders, go for it. Go for it.
So ek wil net sê, ek het vanoggend vertel en sê my rug is seer. Toe vraag sy, is dit nou 'n nuwe kwaal? Is dit 'n ou kwaal? So, en terwyl ons tydens worship, ek wil eers gou dit deel. So tydens worship, het ek nou geworship, maar ek het geworship, maar met die feit dat Here my rug is seer vanoggend. En ek worship en ek besef toe, Here, ek kom nou met my eie agendas vanoggend. En ek kom met my eie motives. En ek bely te eerste dat ek met my eie agendas en my eie motives kom. Hoekom ek nou vanoggend worship? En ek het toe net begin vergeet van my rug wat seer is, my hare wat seer is. En ek fiks toe net my oor op die Here en hou toe net my kuis. En tydens, en ek besef nie eers toe ons klaar is, besef ek maar my rug is nie eers, ek heb ek nie uitgekom vir die gebed nie. Ek het daar heel tyd gestaan en net my focus op die Here gehou. Ek het nie gesê eers dat my rug seer was nie. En toe ons nou klaar is met worship, toe besef ek, my rug is nie meer seer nie. So, ja, ek het ook vanoggend die Here encounter. En ek het net besef, soms moet die mens nie stil bly nie, soms moet jy sê. En hoe ek encounter met die Here gehad het, ek, my man, my pas geskei, en ek het ook maar deur moeilike tye gegaan, die feit dat die mens, jy soek in, en ek besef toe, het was een nag gewees, dan het ek vir my te veel gevoel. En ek het soekend vir die Here begin word. En ek besef dat daar is so baie mense wat ook soekend is na die Here. Mense sal nie sê dat hulle soekend is nie, maar as jy in jou stil, as jy stil is en jy is op jou eie en dan is daar 'n soeke na die Here. So ek het 'n soeke na God gehad. Ek was 13 toe ek my eerste encounter met die Here gehad het in die kerk. So ek het groot geword in die kerk. Jy weet, jou ma en jou pa vat jou kerk toe en jy gaan sonnaskool toe en jy gaan huis toe. En toe was ek 13 en ek het toe nie mentors daai oomblik in my lewe gehad nie en life happens. Jy gaan maar nou aan met die lewe en jy het nie mentors nie en ek dink dit was 2005 wat ek weer soekend na die Here is. En sekerlik 'n week of twee weke daarna, sonder dat ek besef het die Here 'n ou vriendin van my op my pad gestuur, min te weet wat aangaan. Ek en sy het gesels en daai selfde aand het ek weer teruggekom na die Here toe. En ek besef dat ek was soekend en so ook is daar mense wat soekend is. Dat mense wat niks met die Here te doen wil hê nie, maar dan is daar daai gene wat waarlik soekend is om die Here te encounter. En dit is ja, hoe ek die Here geencounter het.
Jy gaan Dave, kom jy, wil jy kyk of nou gaan tyd is vir nog ene daarna. Ja. Ons gaan afsluit met hom, hy gaan die laaste ene wees.
So, a few years ago, well, in the beginning, I grew up in a Christian household where my parents, my family, everyone moved into church together and everything.
where very much it felt like a Sunday chore. We'd get there, I'd sit, be quiet, it's done, we're over with it. And eventually we stopped going to church, fell out of it, and that was kind of the end for me. Until a few years ago, my family was going through very tough financial struggles and problems, and I decided to that day I was going to have to drop out of school because I couldn't finish school. We didn't have the money for it or anything. So I decided to swallow my pride and I told my friends about it. We were on a call playing games as usual. And my one friend just says, hold on a second, I'll be back. About 40 minutes later, my grandmother gets a call from my friend's parents saying that they're going to take me in and that they're going to put me through high school, finishing my last years and everything. So, a few months later, I moved in with them. I was finishing high school and everything, and one Sunday morning, they woke me up and they said, we're going to church. And I thought, well, I owe it to them. They've been helping me so much. I'll at least go. If it's not for me, it's not for me, I'll tell them. And that day in church, it changed me forever. It was amazing. And it showed me that church isn't just sitting there quiet in a church, being quiet. Everything feels like it's very set in rules and that everything has to be perfect. It was the first time I did proper praise and worship. It was loud. It was just full of energy. And I realized church was completely different than what I had built it in my mind to be. And I think it wasn't even a year later, I got baptized, I got saved, everything. So just those, my friend's parents, who are such amazing Christian people, they took me in, they helped me, they showed me the path forward, and how I even helped getting my family back into the church and getting them saved. My grandmother's been baptized.
Amen.
And I'm still working on the rest of them, but I'm making progress.
You guys were absolute stars. Thank you so much for each person that shared. And I think if you forget about anything that I said, catch what happened. Catch the heart of this thing. I can almost try and seal the deal by one last illustration. Just if you were invited to, and I'm not talking about invited to Jesus, invited to this church, did you end up here on your own? Out of your own, or were you invited to church? Just raise your hands who were invited to church for the very first time. Yeah? You were, yeah, you were, you were invited to the Linda. So just raise your hands a little bit higher again. Not one of the hands that were raised would not have been here and in this family, and where God is doing the specific season, work in this season in your lives, if someone didn't invite you. And so I want to ask you guys, just close your eyes and share. And this is not a response. I'm not going to ask for a response here. I'm all stand up. I'm realizing now. Let's pray together for all of us. There's this, Robin, do you still have that scripture in Acts close by? Miskien kan ek vir julle dink. Het julle nog 3 minute vir my? Het julle nog? Sit gou weer. Daar's 'n video, man. This is actually what I wanted to seal the deal with this morning, to really take you over the edge of really knowing that ek praat nie nou met ons nie. Wys gou vir hulle daai video. Is daar klank op by? Waar's my klankman?
Press Windows key.
does pee.
You're gonna learn.
Ah, Shane, you beautiful man. Here we go.
When last did the Lord ask you to do something and step out and you did not know how this was going to turn out? When we first planted a church, the Lord spoke to us really, really clearly, and we realized in the moment that if we don't invite people to church, no one's going to come. I said, Lord, I will go out to the next person I see in this gym and I'll go and invite them to church. Turned around and he was one of the most scary looking people I've ever seen in my life. But I knew in that moment if I didn't push through, if I didn't make myself super uncomfortable and reach out, I was going to struggle with the spirit of man and ultimately come against the call of God in my own life. And so I went up to him, introduced myself, and I said, hey, I'm planning a church. I'd love for you to come. I saw you get a little bit teary and he said, well, only a few weeks ago, I was in Johannesburg, I was strung out on drugs, in desperation, I called out to the Lord, I gave my heart to him right there and then, and I realized I had to get out of Joburg, and I've been looking for a church to go to, so I'll join the church. And the very first Sunday that we planted our church, he was there, and he was with us faithfully, he's today serving the Lord faithfully. I felt that the fear of man that was trying to keep me back from the call of God in my life broke. My question to you today is, are you being completely faithful with what the Lord has placed in your hands right now?
If you want to stand with me, I want to pray for us in closing. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we read in Acts that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that places us in a position where fear of man takes a hike and goes out of our hearts, and it is replaced by your faith, Lord. And so, Father God, we pray firstly, Lord Jesus, just as we all are standing here, Lord, and you have called all of us. It's not my job, it's not the elder's job, it's not the deacon's job. All of us, Lord, are called to be witnesses to you, Lord. All of us, Lord, are called to disciple nations and to bring people into this family that we are experiencing ourselves, Lord. And so, Father, as every person that is standing here this morning, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, don't you just want to fill them afresh, but also lit the fire of evangelism afresh in our hearts, Lord. Light the fire, Lord Jesus, of our encounters and our experiences with you, Lord. Light the fire in each heart of us, Lord, that wants to, that has this compelling desire to share what we experience. Lord, I pray that this little phrase of Sujain, sharing is caring, I pray that this will be something that rings in our ears every single day. Sharing is caring. If you care, you will share. If you care with other people, if you care for the world, if you care for those that Christ cares for, you will share. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that that will be our hearts, each person, but that you, Holy Spirit, will enable us, will empower us, will give us the words, that will give us the braveness and the courage to open our mouths and to just share our own experiences with those who need it most. And we pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, that each person will realize and see their own story, Lord. What Gerard in that video says, to share with what's in your hands. And each person, Lord, has got a story to tell. Each person has had some kind of encounter with you up until now. And that what was in our hands, I pray that we will use it, Lord, in Jesus' name, in this season to come. In the season to come. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just bless us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for touching bodies today and healing. We praise your name. We glorify you for that. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies in there. But we also pray, Lord Jesus, send us today. Help us, Lord, as we move from this place, that we will not be silent, but that we will use every opportunity to share you with those around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lekker man, there's koffiekies en teekies, daar die achterkant, om dan jullie kinders te gaan uitsign. If you don't sign them out in 5 minutes, we will, I don't know.
Yeah.